Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The 401st episode of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by our Patreon. Score exclusive perks, content, and contests, including our NFL Wins Totals contest with a $1,000 prize. Join today at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon. We're also brought to you by Game Time. Download the Game Time app to get last-minute tickets at the lowest prices guaranteed. Use promo code SGPN for $20 off. And we're also brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the app now and use code DGEN, D-E-G-E-N. New customers can score $200 in bonus bets instantly when they bet just $5 on any college football bet. Only on the DraftKings Sportsbook with code DGEN.
Hi, hello, Degeneritos. Welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 401, the highway I'll be driving on very shortly. This episode goes out to Mr. and Mrs. Vreeland. Happy anniversary, Mr. and Mrs. Vreeland. Sounds like you had a wonderful day. Thank you for coming to the show. And I am back, baby. Jeff Chalks Fox, not just back in yours, but back with on the winning track, 19-6 over the past 2 weeks. So I'm back to where I belong. It helped that last night was extremely, extremely chalky, but myself and my co-host also hit a big fat dog. So this episode is all about UFC 292. We will recap the action last night. I'll bring in that co-host of mine that I just mentioned. It's one and only Gumby God, Daniel Vreeland. Hello.
And I didn't do terribly bad either. I do have to toot my own horn. 8-4.
Nope, you did good too.
Not a bad night. I will say, also the really disappointing part of it is the couple of other dogs I had penciled in there were razor close fights, right? And look like they could possibly edge them out. So the dogs, you're right, the dogs weren't barking, but there were a lot of opportunities for them to, and just missed by, you know, a pinch here or there.
The judges were not on your side last night, Gumby.
You know, I don't think that's there. Like, one fight I could see being swayed the other way. But outside of the Blackshear-Bautista fight, which I thought Blackshear could have won the first two rounds, you know, none of the other judges, I think, like, you know, effed me over. You know, like, nobody's out here saying Pedro Munhoz really won that fight. I think he really won the first round, but, like, you know, second and third were probably Cheetos. You know, I got the Petrosky decision. I don't know how anybody scored that fight for Mearshart. That was wild. So, like, apart from, you know, being a little bit questionable on the Blackshear one, I think the judges, with the exception of the fact that, like, they've got some really wonky scorecards in there, like somebody scoring any of the rounds for Amanda Lemos is just one of the wildest things in the world. Apart from like the occasional wonky scorecard, the right people won all of the fights, I think.
Yeah, the Blackshear one, I was surprised by it, especially 30-27. But there wasn't any out and out robberies. The fights were close. The media had Blackshear, as did the fans, but fans don't know anything, Dan. Media knows everything, obviously. And then I think Vera Munhoz, most media had Munhoz. No, maybe not. I can't remember if the media mostly had. Looks like the media mostly had Munhoz in that one as well. So I'm trying to help you out and tell you that you were robbed, but you don't want to hear it.
Yeah, well, and so again, it feels like we're finding different people to F things up every time, like new judges who we can get more mad at. Because like, who was the guy with the funny name who messed things up for us a few weeks ago? I can't remember what his name was now. We named an episode after him.
They always talk about him. Yeah, they always talk about him in the Discord too. I don't remember names.
Whatever his name was.
Everyone's screaming now though.
Our new one is
are screaming at their podcast.
Our new one is Nick Mahmood, because Nick Mahmood last night was the guy who gave the fourth round to Amanda Lemos, scored any round for Amanda Lemos, which is wild to me. And he scored that Vera Munoz fight 30-27 for Vera. He gave Vera literally every single round, which no media member did. You know, like there were some media members who had Vera 29-28, including Sean Sheehan, who I generally trust his scorecards. You know, I thought Munoz won the first and second. You know, come to think of it, you know, he clearly didn't win the third. The second, definitely, or the first, rather, there was an argument there for Vera. But especially because there wasn't a lot of action in the early parts of the first, just leg kicks. So depending on how you judge that jab, I could see that round going for Vera. But like, man, yeah, you can't score all three for him.
Yeah, it's interesting. But like I said, no out and out robbery. So that's in this sport. That's basically all you can ask for. So this obviously was UFC 292 down last night in the TD Garden in Boston, Massachusetts. I don't see attendance or gate, but it was a raucous crowd, Dan.
Early too. They were packed for like the second or third fight.
Yes, they were roaring from the get-go. Let's see, I'm looking for attendance. No, I don't see attendance. First thing that came up is Mackenzie Dern breaks hearts showing up at UFC 292. Why does she break hearts, Dan?
I have no idea. They showed her on the sideline for a second.
Oh, because she has a new man. Okay, that's it. Everyone must have thought they had a chance at her, but now they don't, because there's some random guy with her apparently. So, yeah, okay, there you go. All right, let's go to the main event. This one, I got the main event, and I got the curtain jerker wrong. That was it. The rest of it was a clean sweep. Sean O'Malley. I guess this wasn't a total shock. We weren't expecting him to win, but if he was going to win, this was the way he was going to win. Stunned Aljamain Sterling on the feet and then finished them on the ground. TKO punches 51 seconds into round two. We were both in on Sterling, but it seems a lot of money was coming in on O'Malley.
Yeah, it's interesting because you're right. This is the outlet we saw to O'Malley winning, but I actually think he impressed me even more than I thought he was going to in this case, because I thought he was going to kind of like take charge with his striking. And if he did happen to crack him before he got a takedown or at the beginning of a round, that might happen. But he really did a masterful job of like maintaining like really large distance, letting Aljamain Sterling rush in and not necessarily countering him. Like if you watch most of that first round, he lets Aljamain Sterling kind of like throw wildly and he just kind of like circles away or throws something small or like, you know, gets a feel for what Aljamain Sterling does. And he lets him do it two or three times without punishing him for it. And I think he just lulled Aljamain Sterling into thinking like, oh, if I just rush him, he's got no answer. And it was just that he was lining that answer up with the perfect minute to unleash it. And that I think is like maybe the most impressive part about what Sean O'Malley did here is just that like it wasn't just a performance with his hands. It was a performance with his mind. And I say that as somebody who didn't pick him and typically, you know, and I'll say this, I still don't think he's probably the best bantamweight in the world. Like he deserves to be the champ. He's not a fluky champ by any chance, stretch of the imagination. Sometimes that's just how fighting goes. But at the end of the day, if you're telling me like, do you think he's better than Piotr Jan? No, I don't think he's better than Piotr Jan. I think Piotr Jan is way better than him. I think he beat him when they fought recently. Do I think he's better than Aljamain Sterling? No, at the end of the day, probably not. I think Aljamain Sterling, given a rematch, probably doesn't rush in like that, which is, of course, why Aljamain Sterling wasn't committed to still going up to featherweight after saying he was 99% sure that this would be his last fight at featherweight.
You mentioned rematch. I didn't really hear a lot of talk about rematch. Is there talk about rematch?
I don't think so. So when they asked Aljamain Sterling, what's next for him? Are you definitely going up to featherweight? Like you talked about, you know, Rogan asked him that right in the cage. He said, you know, I think I have to think about some things. I have to go back and reflect because he did something to me in here that I didn't think could be done to me. And if he can hit me like this, imagine what Volkanovski would do to me. And he said it literally just like that. Imagine what Volkanovski would do to me if this is what Sean O'Malley can do. And he's got a great point, right? Like if Volkanovski, if you're going to go up in weight and give the strength advantage to Alexander Volkanovski, and let's face it, probably a wrestling advantage to Alexander Volkanovski, like you can't be able to be popped like that because Volkanovski will put a masterclass on you. So he said, I got to reflect on some things. Maybe he's rethinking, should I go up? Am I going to be able to handle, you know, the power punchers up at that weight class? Which, to be fair, not a ton of power punchers up there, right? Like, we think of Topuria. You know, he's not, he doesn't really have to worry about Josh Emmett. He'll probably be retired by the time he gets up there. Holloway's not a power puncher. He's like a volume and damage puncher. And to an extent, same thing with Volkanovski, right? Not a power puncher. You know, Korean Zombie's not really that. And, you know, like there's not a ton of, I guess, Yair Rodriguez, maybe. There's not a ton of power guys up there. So it's, that's not really the issue. But like, just wondering, is that the right move for him? And then also saying, yeah, I think in the back of his mind, he's like, should I get another crack at this? If this sold crazy pay-per-view numbers, is Dana going to want to back the truck back up to have me run it back? And I'll just be honest, if it does crazy pay-per-view numbers, at no point in time is Dana White going to be like, man, Aljo really popped that number. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, definitely. Also, what could be playing into this is if there's O'Malley actually said himself that he wants to fight Chito Vera next. So if Aljo's friend and teammate Merab Dvalishvili isn't going to get the next title shot, then maybe Aljo will say, no, I'll stick around. I want a rematch.
He might. I don't know if he'll get it. And I think the UFC is going to do Chito versus O'Malley next, which I think is the wrong move. I think there are two people more deserving than Chito Vera. Not one, two people more deserving than Chito Vera. Merab deserves the fight. They should do Merab. It would get hype on him being the revenger. He stole the jacket. Don't forget the jacket. He stole the jacket. Yeah, don't forget the jacket. He stole the jacket. There's hype there to be made too. I think that's probably the right fight. But also, and they're never going to give it to Corey Sandhagen. God, does Corey Sandhagen maybe deserve that fight? And I'll tell you what.
For sure.
I think the reason Corey Sandhagen for sure does not get this fight is because I think Corey Sandhagen is probably his worst nightmare right now. He's long. He's a great striker. And as he showed in his last fight, he can blend his striking and his wrestling together damn near flawlessly. And is a menace when it comes to that, as Rob Font found out. So like, and he's done five rounds how many times now? You know, like he's in five round fights all the time. He fought Dillashaw for five. He fought Piotr Jan for five. He fought Rob Font just now for five. Like he's fought five a bunch of times. Like that's Sean O'Malley's worst nightmare. Cause he showed now, you know, Aljo got in on only one takedown, right? Like he only got on the legs one time. Adequate defense, right? Adequate defense. Would it hold up over the 39 attempts Merab Dvalishvili would have to make? Maybe, maybe not. But like also, it's not like he's sitting there wondering if Merab is gonna crack him with a right hand. Whereas like with Corey Sandhagen, he might have to worry about all that.
Yep, very, very true. So things are interesting in bantamweight. It would fit right into the whole Aljo thing if he doesn't get a rematch. Every champ who loses, especially long-term champs that lose, get rematches. But Aljo would be the one who would get skipped over because everyone seems to not give the man any respect. So getting knocked out by Sean O'Malley, I guess, doesn't help them at all. So before we move along, let me tell you about DraftKings, new sponsor. Perhaps you've heard of them. DraftKings. You've waited all year and the time has finally arrived. College football is back and so are the traditions, the tailgates, and the great offers from DraftKings Sportsbook. Right now, new customers can score $200 in bets, bonus bets, instantly when they bet just $5 on any college football bet. Also, I use DraftKings for all of my MLB wagering as well. And of course, they have MMA. They have every sport you need. So you kick off the season with DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the app now and use code DEGEN, D-E-G-E-N. New customers can score $200 in bonus bets instantly when they bet just $5 on any college football bet, only on DraftKings Sportsbook, of course, with code DEGEN, D-E-G-E-N. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8 HOPENY or text HOPENY. That would be 467-369. In West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net in partnership with Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races. All games regulated by the West Virginia Lottery. Please play responsibly. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 1-888-789-7777. I think I told you enough sevens and not too many. Or visit ccpg.org on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. 21 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details and state-specific responsible gambling resources. Bonus bets expire 7 days after issuance. That's a good word. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/football terms. And we're also brought to you again by GameTime.co, not .com. GameTime takes the stress out of you trying to buy tickets, whether it's last-minute tickets, whether it's looking for the best deal for any popular event, music, comedy, sports, all of it. They have got it for you. I have checked their app, and they have everything you're looking for. No matter where you are, because GameTime is the fastest-growing ticketing app in the country for a reason. Get images of your seat before you buy, which is very cool, so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. Buy tickets in a matter of seconds. Two taps, you're set. Tickets are sent directly to your phone, so you never have to dig through your email. Snag the tickets without the stress with GameTime. Download the GameTime app, create an account, and use code SGPN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code SGPN for $20 off. Download GameTime today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. All right, maybe before we move off the main event, what do you want to see happen? You're booking both these people, O'Malley and Sterling.
I'm pro Mirab Dvalishvili just for the fact that he earns it and he's a fresh face. So I'm pro that. If it were for me, I would go O'Malley versus Mirab. I'd let Aldo go up, maybe not give him the title fight right away. Maybe put him with Yair Rodriguez. I'll go Aldo, Yair, O'Malley versus Mirab. And then, I hate to say Corey Sandhagen has just got to wait in the wings, but I think Corey Sandhagen's just got to wait in the wings.
Should Aldo go up, though? Like, he's not like he's a huge bantamweight.
He is a huge bantamweight, though. That's the thing. So? Like, I know he's shorter.
I guess he was fighting like, a giant last night.
Yeah, and he's only 5'7", but, like, dude, I mean, and never trust what Joe Rogan says. I can't stress this enough, but he called him the weight-cutting champion of the world as he was walking into the cage. And he's not wrong. Like, if you look at the difference of him on the scale versus when he's in the cage, like, there's, like, grooves in between his abs that look like they go all the way back to his spine when he's cutting weight. Because he's just, like, he's shredded, but, man, is he, like, a water-cut weight, last 15, 20 pounds shredded. So, I think, and he said himself, the weight cuts suck. He can't do them anymore at that level. And, you know, it's not like he's old, right? But he is 34. Like, he's up there. So, like, he's not going to be able to keep cutting that weight all that time. And there's so many contenders there. So, yeah, go up, see what you can do there. Worst case scenario, he's got to turn it back around.
All right, there you go. Gumby has spoken. Let's go to the co-main event. The champ came through. This one we hit. Zhang Weili ran through Amanda Lemos. This was a horrific beatdown. 50-43, 50-44, 49-45. We had Weili, what wasn't a huge stab on our end by any means, because she was, what, minus, let me grab, do you remember what it was? Minus
300.
300, yeah. So it was way up there, but she looked like a minus 300 favorite. So
she looked like a 1,000 favorite.
Yes, she did it with her wrestling, too. That may be the most impressive part.
I mean, I think so, but I even said, I think on the last episode, that I thought she had a wrestling advantage, because the thing is like, I mean, she out-wrestled Carla Esparza at one point in time, and Rear Naked choked her. So, like, yeah, of course she's got a good wrestling in there. And I will also just say this. You know, I said she'd be faster. I said she'd be the better striker. I said she'd be the better wrestler. But I said the most important thing was her physicality and how much physically stronger she was than Amanda Lemos. And Lemos is used to being the stronger woman. Because when you just ram yourself into a bunch of striking exchanges and wind up in the clinch, you got to have a way out. And Lemos has never had a way out against bigger, stronger opponents. And Weili is just the biggest and strongest of those opponents. So this was a Mitch match. It went the way I thought it would. Weili needs a Tatiana Suarez. Tatiana Suarez needs to be next for her so that we can see what this looks like.
All right. I don't even have to ask you then. That is the match to make, is it?
Yeah. And I don't think there's anything much else to say about that. I mean, like, there are other people in the division. Like, I know Yan Xiaonan is, like, chomping at the bit. Yeah. And they people seem to think that they're going to like that China versus China matchup. But I'll just say this. Yan Xiaonan versus Weili looks no different than what we saw last night. It looks exactly the same with less punching power coming the other way.
Yep. Very, very true. So impressive performance for the champion. Impressive performance at welterweight. Ian Machado Gary took care of Neil Magny in the in a huge blood. No, it wasn't. It was a bloody feud out of the cage. It was not a bloody feud inside the cage. He picked him apart, leg kicks. That was the story of the night for many fights. But Machado Gary picked him apart with leg kicks. 30-26, 30-26, 30-24. The only critique you can say is he didn't put Magny away.
Yeah, and I didn't really like his comment afterwards either, where he said, you know, I've seen people rush in and get finished rushing in. Like, I I'm going to be a little bit critical here of Magny. Magny on one leg is who you're worried about rushing in on. You know, Magny's never had any power punching, really, right? Like, Magny is not the first name that comes to your mind when you think knockout artist. The dude's fought almost 40 times. He's got 7 knockouts, and I don't know. Can you remember him knocking anybody out?
Nope.
The last person he knocked, the last person he knocked out's name was Craig White. Do you remember Craig White?
Who that? No. Yeah. Is that the UFC?
Yeah, it was. He took a short notice fight for the UFC in London when Magny's opponent dropped out. So, like, that's the last guy Magny. So if you're worried about Magny knocking you out and going, quote unquote, going for it, let me ask you, what are you going to do when you have to go for it against Vicente Luque? What are you going to do when you have to go for it against Stephen Wonderboy Thompson? What are you going to do when you have to go for it against Kamaru Usman? Because that's what's next. Those types of names are the guys that are next. And if you're afraid to go in on Neil Magny on one leg for fear of being knocked out, I think you're not as mentally tough as you think you are.
Well, there you go. Harsh, harsh words. See, I don't pay attention to what fighters say after the fight. So Lucky Gumby's here because he does. So he wants Wonderboy, apparently. Do you like that?
I kind of do. I get, like, he wants kind of a fun, rangy striker. He wants to prove his striking is the best. I don't know that necessarily will do it, but, like, it's a good hype mechanism. And right now, the UFC is looking for every possible chance to trash Wonder Boy. So they might just take him up on that offer.
Yep, would be as safe. I don't think Wonder Boy would. Has what it takes to handle Gary at this point. So probably a safe call out for a big name fighter. Bantamweights, Mario Bautista took care of Damon Blackshear. Very close fight, 29-28, 29-28, 30-27. That doesn't sound like it was close with 30-27, but it was. I had Bautista. Blackshear fought very well. At least he started off very well. And then 2 weight cuts in 9 days. It seemed to take its toll on him because he did slow down a bit, or at least that was the narrative. I have Bautista minus 205. And by the way, we had Gary at minus 490. Hooray for us.
Yeah, he slowed down in the third for sure. I still think he won the second deep down. And like, if you look at the fan scores on MMA decisions, Blackshear won 77.7% of the second rounds. You know, I get the argument for Bautista, but I will say my breakdown that Mario Batista's takedown defense is not what everybody thinks it is. It could not be more clear. I think he's going to run into a lot of trouble at bantamweight when he runs into some of these wrestler types.
And the hater, once again, okay, we'll move on. No, he hasn't really fought.
Blackshear's the toughest comp. At bantamweight yet. Blackshear's the comp, yeah.
Yep. And, Blackshear did well for himself, got himself another payday, at least. And then opening fight was bantamweight. It's another close bantamweight fight. Marlon Chito Vera, Pedro Munhoz went the way we expected. Vera started off slow and then turned it on with volume to end the fight. 30-27, 30-27, 29-28. I had Vera at minus 190. Gumby was in on back-to-back dogs, missed on them both. That was Munhoz.
Yeah, and we already kind of talked about how close this one was. We can mostly just skimp over that too.
Skip.
Let
over Gumby's losses.
Yeah, let's get to talking about how terrible Chris Weidman looked.
Ugh. Chris, and he didn't take his gloves off.
He's got a championship still run in him, dude.
He does. Dana White wants him to retire. Well, Dana, you cannot give him fights.
He'd have to release him, though, and then he'd be the Bellator middleweight champion tomorrow.
Yeah. Sure he would. Chris Weidman, not surprisingly, was hesitant, couldn't pull the trigger, couldn't wrestle, was taking the wrestling, I guess, was a little surprising. He was taking horrible shots from super far away at Brad Tavares. Tavares handled it easily. Leg kicks, once again. Not Weidman's injured leg. Well, I guess that got battered too, but it was his left lead leg that got destroyed. But Brad Tavares, 30-27 across the board. I thought Tavares was going to stop him, and it did come close at several points in the fight. I didn't predict it was going to be leg kicks that was going to stop him. I thought Weidman would get knocked out, but Tavares, not a knockout artist, and proved that last night by not being able to put away Chris Weidman.
Yeah, but Weidman looks slow. And in addition to that, too, I think the biggest piece is, you know, he can't be in there with anybody who can stuff a takedown, right? Because, like, it doesn't look like he's got the gas anymore. It doesn't look like he's got the speed to get in on very many good takedowns anyway. So if he can't finish the one or two he gets in on, like, what hope does he have? And Tavares, as I mentioned back on Wednesday when we broke this fight down, Tavares is great takedown defense, like exceptional takedown defense as far as a middleweight goes. So, yeah, it was clearly a performance that lets us know this is the end for Chris Weidman.
But is it the end? That's the thing. It should be, but will it be? That's the question. So more often than not, the answer is no, it will not be. He didn't get knocked out brutally, so he probably thinks he has more in the tank. Maybe he would have more in the tank if he uses Factor. Maybe he does. Busy fall season is just around the corner, and you might be looking for wholesome, convenient meals for jam-packed days when the kids are back at school and all that fun stuff. Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal kit, can help you fuel up fast with chef-prepared, dietitian-approved, ready-to-eat meals delivered straight to your door. You'll save time, eat well, and stay on track with your healthy lifestyle. Too busy with your end-of-summer goals to cook, but want to make sure you're eating well? With Factor, skip the extra trip to the grocery store and the shopping, preparing, and cleaning up while still getting the flavor and nutritional quality you need. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are ready in just 2 minutes. So all you have to do is heat and enjoy. Then get back to crushing your goals. Refresh your healthy habits without missing a beat. Choose from 34 plus, that means more, weekly flavor-packed, dietitian-approved meals ready to eat in 2 minutes. Level up with gourmet plus options prepared to perfection by chefs and ready to eat in record time. Treat yourself to upscale meals with premium ingredients like broccolini, leeks, truffle butter, and asparagus. Too busy running around during the day to think about lunch? Keep your energy up with lunch to go. Effortless, wholesome meals with like grain bowls and salad toppers that are ready to eat when you're on the go. No microwave required. Looking for calorie conscious. That's the word. Options ahead of the busy season. Try delicious, dietitian approved, calorie smart meals with around or less than 550 calories per serving. Need an extra boost to support your wellness goals and to feel your best for the rest of summer? Try Protein Plus meals with 30 grams of protein or more per serving. Round out your meal and replenish your snack supply with an assortment of 35 plus. That means more, once again. Add-ons including breakfast items like our delicious apple cinnamon pancakes, bacon and cheddar egg bites, and potato bacon and egg breakfast skillet. Or for an easy wellness boost, try refreshing beverage options like cold-pressed juices, shakes, and smoothies. With Factor, you can rest assured you're making a sustainable choice. We offset 100% of our delivery emissions, source 100% renewable electricity for our production sites and offices, and feature sustainably sourced seafood in our meals. This August, get Factor and enjoy eating well without the hassle. Simply choose your meals and enjoy fresh, flavor-packed meals delivered to your door, ready in just 2 minutes. No prep, no mess. Head to factormeals.com/SGPN50 and use the code SGPN50 to get 50% off. That's code SGPN50 at factormeals.com/SGPN50 to get 50% off. And we're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. The NFL season right around the corner, and Underdog NFL Pick'em, it's a great way to get down on your favorite over and under picks. They even got college football and NFL preseason. And of course, make sure to enter Best Ball Mania for where first place gets $3 million. You have an Underdog pick for us, Dan. Oh, Cowboys.
Yeah, they're probably
that season.
They're probably not underdogs.
That season start.
They're probably not underdogs in week one, though. They can't be. They're playing the Giants.
That's right. You can pick what we'll say underdog as in the name of the company Underdog instead then. So Cowboys are the pick. Head over to underdogfantasy.com and use promo code SGPN for 100% deposit bonus up to $100. That's underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, let's get back to the part of the card where I was killing Gregory Rodriguez. Knocked out with elbows. Dennis Tuilulin took him down, grounded him out, minute 43 in the first round. This is the first man we're going to fire, Dennis Tuilulin, unless Chris Wyman doesn't retire. Then we're going to fire him, too. We had Rodriguez at minus 350.
Yeah, Tuilulin's ground game is atrocious. I mean, like, this is what he gets for being a Russian without a V at the end of his name, right? And like, with the exception of his win over Gregory Pickett, which even that wasn't really impressive, like, he's looked so bad. And he's got no ground game to speak of. So, yeah, it's time for him to go. And it's good to see Hobocop get back on the right track, too.
Yes, it's always good to see one of our favorites get a win. Kurt Hollibaugh, he could very quickly be one of our favorites. He's a swell guy, and he won the tough lightweight championship last night over Austin Hubbard. Very slick jiu-jitsu on the ground, 239 in the second round. Ended up with a triangle choke, but he was rolling and looking for lots of submissions on Austin Hubbard and ended up getting the job done. We had Hollibaugh as our underdog, plus 150. Few underdogs. I only had two underdogs on the card, and I hit this one.
Yeah, rear naked choke to the armbar to the triangle. Very, very slick. And also, let's just say he was also putting it on Hubbard on the feet. You know, I said it, and the reason I felt good about him was that fight with Jason Knight. It really felt like he had turned a corner with his striking. And I think a lot of people forgot that this guy is somebody who knocked down Shane Burgos, a ranked featherweight when he was with the UFC not that long ago. So, like, I mean, I guess it was over 2 years ago, but like, he knocked him down. His hands are good. He clearly showed that here. It's a little upsetting that he's getting his third kick at the can in the UFC at kind of a little bit more of an advanced age in a division where advanced age doesn't hold up. But hey, his skills play. You know, if he's beating Hubbard, Hubbard's better than a lot of lightweights in the UFC right now anyway. So, you know, I think Hollibaugh could go on I'm not going to say a run to the top 15 here, but he could just definitely stick around the UFC for like, you know, six or seven more fights before he decides it's time to go rather than the UFC does.
And there you go. Gumby knows what my follow-up questions are always going to be, and he answered it. So congratulations, Kurt Hollibaugh. Bracketona, double tough champion. He at least can put that on his mantle. He won the bantamweight crown this time over Cody Gibson. Unanimous decision, 29-28, 29-28, 30-27. Gibson ended up tiring out and stayed in his face. Really good scrap, fight of the night worthy scrap. We had Katona at minus 182 because he's so lovable.
Yeah, no, his post-fight interview made me wish that I didn't listen to post-fight interviews like you. Because, man, was this... He very clearly decides he has, like, a narrative that he wants to push. And his narrative that he was going to push is that the Octagon makes him feel like home. And then he just, like, tried to jam that metaphor in there so freaking hard. You haven't heard any of this, I'm assuming.
No, no, I haven't.
Yeah, he tried to jam this like narrative through so hard that he like ran out of things to say because he wound up just repeating that this octagon feels like home. And then clearly he was trying to expand on it, but didn't have like a way of expanding on it. And he was like shoehorning it in every answer. And then he was like, the canvas feels so soft between my toes. And I was like, this is the cringiest. Yeah, this is the cringiest shit I've ever heard. So, yeah, no, he's insufferable. And also, I will just say, like, in no offense to Cody Gibson, because Cody Gibson, you know, 35 years old, trying to make it back to the UFC, you know, similar kind of story as Kurt Hollibaugh, where he's had some chances, and it's been a long time since he had chances. Did you know he actually debuted against Aljamain Sterling? They were each other's first fight in the UFC, Cody Gibson. But anyway, that's the sidebar there. But, like, you know, no offense to Cody Gibson, but Cody Gibson lost a fight on the regional scene not that long ago to Ray Borg, because Ray Borg was too much wrestling for him. And so if Ray Borg, a former flyweight, who is definitely way past his prime, had no trouble wrestling you, or at least no trouble enough to win a decision wrestling you, and now Brad Katona, whose thing is kind of like that he's a grinder, like only won because you tired out, and he couldn't get a takedown. Like, he could not have been farther from a takedown at any point in time. Like, even when it looked like he got the legs, he had no, like, it looked like he had nothing for him. Like, Katona is going to get eaten up by this bantamweight division. Like, I'd take, would you not take DeMond? Would you not take DeMond Blackshear to beat the hell out of him tomorrow?
Yeah, at this point, especially tomorrow, because Katona got beat up.
Yeah, yeah. And Blackshear can fight on 7 days' notice. We learned that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Hubbard or Gibson, neither of them are going to get signed anyhow, are they?
You know, I really wish they'd give him one more. Especially, you know, and again, no offense to Cody Gibson, especially Hubbard. Hubbard's only 31. And like I said, I think he's better than lightweights. I think he'd win fights in the lightweight division. So maybe they give him another fight, being like, he's not completely past his prime. Gibson, unfortunately, I think, like, you know, at 35 years old, having not been in the UFC for a while, he's now 1-2 in his last three with a loss to Katona and Borg. And I just said, I'm way lower on Katona than I am on Hollibaugh. Yeah, like, I don't know what he can do at bantamweight where there's, like, 1,000, like, young killers right there.
Yep. It is true. All righty. What do we have next, Gumby? Let me call it up here. Let me remember. Oh, yeah. Early prelims. Andre Petrosky got the win, but barely got the win. And this was not good for his development, this fight. He did not look good against Joe Mearshart. Ended up when you split decision 28-29, 29-28, 29-28. Petrosky, one of our golden boys. I don't know how long that'll last. We had him at minus 225. He also was my lock. Yeah, did not look good, was flailing on the feet. I guess he thought that he was going to be able to tag Mearshart, but not the way he was fighting. He wasn't going to, but yeah, not a good fight. A very middleweight fight, I said in the Discord.
So I don't think it was the best fight in the world, but I'll buck what you said there about him not being good for his development. I think him fighting a guy who can grapple really well and then having to ask himself, what else do I have, is great for your development. Because, like, all his career, he's been able to bulldoze somebody and beat the piss out of him on the mat. And anytime he got on top of Mearshart, which he did a couple of times here, it's worth noting, Mearshart's got butterfly hooks. Mearshart's got threats off of his back. Mearshart's got stuff for him. And so he had to ask himself, what else do I have? And what else do I have is, right now, not the most polished thing on the feet, right? Like, I think we all learned he was a little bit sloppy on the feet. But at the same time, I think he got the better of most of those striking exchanges with Gerald Mearshart, who, yeah, he's a grappler, but he's also like a multiple time veteran, time over and over and over and over and over again, right? Like, this guy made it to the UFC all the way back in 2016. He's been there for 7 years at this point. So, like, yeah, like, maybe Gerald Mearshart is not the toughest guy for him to be getting a split decision over. By the way, should have been unanimous. Very clear. He won round one and two. But at the same time, like, I think it was good for his development.
All right. There you go. So you're still on the Petrosky train. I guess it depends who they match him up with next.
Yeah. And I think it depends on what he does when he goes back to his gym next. Like, If he decides, like, I need to work on these hands, I need to get my striking to the Joe Pyfer level. Because, right, he trains with Joe Pyfer. Joe Pyfer is, like, his number one training partner, him and Sean Brady. And, like, if he continues to be more like Sean Brady and not fine-tune his hands like Pyfer clearly has, he will hit a ceiling. But if he starts to iron all of those other things, which he learned he might need to do here, I think it'll be fine.
All right. And then opening up two women's flyweight fights, both the Silvas won. We were in on one of them. Silvas may be taking over this division soon because both these ladies look very good. Natalia Silva put it on Andrea Lee, 30-27 across the board, and then gave a Amanda Hibos-esque post-fight interview, which is always fun to see. We had Silva at -350.
Yeah, she was great. She made Andrea Lee look like she doesn't belong in there for sure.
Maybe she doesn't belong anymore.
I mean, it's starting to get that way, right? But also, like, I would have liked to see a finish. She did have her wobbled a couple of times, but she looked fantastic. I'm a lot higher on. I was going in. I am coming out. I am a lot higher on Natalia Silva than I am on Carini.
All right, tell us about Carini. She took care of Marina Moroz. She guillotine choked her with a second left in the first round, which was a bummer for us because we were in on Moroz as an underdog here.
I think if Moroz holds on for that second, she wins the fight.
You think she'd out cardio her the rest of the fight?
I don't know that she'd out cardio her, but I think she had more tools for her ultimately, right? Like she.
Okay.
I was going to score that first round for Moroz. Guillotine attempt notwithstanding, obviously, because the guillotine attempt finishing the fight obviously takes precedent here. But like before that, it looked like Moroz looked better on the feet. It looked like Moroz looked better. I mean, she was better in the wrestling, and that's kind of what I thought she was going to do. And as long as she stayed away from the submission, she'd be fine. She stayed away from the submissions for 4 minutes and 59 seconds. I know that it's a different mindset when you're in there and you don't know how much time you have and only they maybe have a better idea than we do. But like, man, 1 second and she was not out. And like, I really would have liked to see what that second round looked like. Cause also like, who knows? Karina Silva's a buff chick. Like she could have just absolutely gassed herself out there.
Yep. So if the two Silvas match up, then we're going with Natalia, right?
For sure. And they won't match them up because they're both hyped Brazilian prospects. That they're
hopefully
they're on an upward trajectory to start fighting some Joe Calderwoods and some Lauren Murphys of the division.
Yep. Sounds good to me. So that concluded the event. I went 10-2. I only whiffed on the main event and the curtain jerker. I won $300. I'm at 59% on the year now. So I'm getting back up to that 60 minimum 60 I want to be at. Gumby's moving up too. He's at 55% after going 8-4 last night and only losing $3. So bravo. I hit my lock, Petrosky. I hit my dog, Holaba. I missed my prop. It was Zhang via TKO or knockout. Gumby missed his lock, Aljo, missed his dog, Moroz, but his prop bet, Magny fight, Ian Machado Gary, fight going over 1.5. He hit that at -165. And we whiffed on both halves of the Hungry Man John, but it happens.
It happens. Altogether, a good night.
It was. Was it a good night in the Discord? I was there for the first, early part of the prelims, and then I had a dip out. Was it a good night for the boys?
You know, they seem to all be having a good time, with the exception of some people who went pretty heavy on Aljo at the end. I will openly admit, I had a little bit harder time following along last night. I was on some. I'll disclose this in the episode. I was on some medication for a pretty severe allergic reaction to some bee sting. I spent like 3.5 hours in the ER prior to fight night. So I was in an altered state, and not because of beverage choices on my behalf. It was due to IVs and stuff like that. So I was not in there as often as I usually am.
So there, you people should be thankful, especially thankful that Gumby is alive and doing this episode with us. That could have been it. Episode 400 could have been the end, Dan.
Yeah, that would have been a lot.
Yeah, and it's probably like 50 hours to get to a hospital. You living in the boonies too, so you're lucky you came through.
We actually, surprisingly, we have a ton of hospitals around here. I think it's because there's like some colleges in the area I live, so they know they gotta have a bunch of hospitals around here.
It's true. It's true. All right. So we're thankful Gumby's alive, and we're thankful the UFC is back again this coming Saturday. The Sickos in Discord are probably especially thankful. This one starts at what, like 2 a.m. Eastern or something like that?
I think I saw 5 a.m. Eastern is the prelims, 8 a.m. Eastern is the main card.
Okay. Okay. And it is because it's going down in Singapore, the Singapore Indoor Stadium in Klang, Singapore. It is UFC on ESPN, Holloway versus the Korean Zombie, a banger of a main event. Too bad it's starting at such a such an unfortunate time for us spoiled North Americans. Main event is Max Holloway versus Chan Sung Jung, aka the Korean Zombie. We get Anthony Smith versus Ryan Spann, which normally that would be the main event the UFC would be giving us on a normal fight night card. Who's this guy? Giga Chikadze. Apparently, he must be a new fighter. He's fighting Alex Caceres. Rinya Nakamura off road to UFC. We're a fan of Rinya, right?
Yeah, he's a beast.
He is. We're also a fan of Erin Blanchfield. She's fighting Talia Santos. Then we got Junior Tafa, Parker Porter. I want to say that's a banger of a main card, but I don't want to say that right after the Tafa Porter fight, but it is a banger of a main card. And then the prelims, Waldo Cortez Acosta, Lucas Brezki, Toshiomi Kazama, Garrett Armfield, Chidian Jikuwani, Mikhail Oleseychuk, Song Kinnan, Rolando Bedoya, Billy Goff, Yusaku Kinoshita, the Dragon Girl, Lian Na versus JJ Aldridge, and Sung Woo Choi versus Jarno Ahrens. Thoughts?
Sick card. I can't believe this is like a fight night card. You know, I got a little lackluster on the main event, but only because it's one-sided. Like, Chan Sung Jung shouldn't be in there with Max Holloway. That's stupid. But like, Giga Chikadze coming back and matching him up with Caceres is awesome. You know, Blanchfield getting that test in Santos, who can test her grappling, getting to see Nakamura back. Parker Porter versus Junior Tafa. I know you laughed at that, but he was knocked out by Justin Tafa. So why not find out something? You know, can he fix what he needs to against the brother, which is kind of a fun little narrative there. I mean, I've always been a Chidi and Jikawani fan. I like that Kinoshita's getting another shot here because he was super fun on Contender Series and kind of let us down against Adam Fugit. So like there are a lot of fun ones. I'm really happy that they gave Toshiomi Kazama an extra fight because he actually lost in the finale of Road to the UFC. He lost to Rinya Nakamura. And he lost in 33 seconds, but he had looked really good in his other fight on road to the UFC. So they brought him back for another one. So I'm pumped about that. Aldridge versus Na Liang, kind of a sleeper good fight too. Yeah, there's lots to like on this one.
And Erin Blanchfield's on it.
That's right. Yeah. And that's, like I said, that goes without saying. Erin Blanchfield is so much fun to watch.
Yep. So there you go. We'll be back getting that into your ear holes this coming Wednesday and Thursday. But first, we have the Contender Series Week 3. This is Gumby's Resurrection Week. We're going to be doing that very, very shortly. It'll be in your ears any minute. Maybe it's even in your feed as we speak. So take a peek at that. We'll also be hanging out in the Discord if Gumby's not dying in the hospital somewhere. It's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. Twitter, SGPN MMA. Jeff Fox Writer and Gumby Vreeland are the handles. Jeff Fox Writer is my handle on Instagram as well. Well, I got my moneymma.substack.com where you can subscribe, get all my MMA writings and podcasts in your inbox, and enter my weekly pick 'em contest. And the Gumby's got the Top Turtle MMA podcast, a podcast without me on it, which is a bonus for most of you people. And obviously, all the things good in sports gambling world can be found at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. We'll be back very, very shortly. It'll be the Young Punisher, Jeff Fox, and the Haitian Sensation, Gumby Vreeland, bringing you the Contender Series Week 3.